Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. This is George Watkins with another podcast. I've got a word for you today I believe is going to be a blessing, something I've done just a short time ago at one of the churches we were in on what does it mean to you to be born again. I continue to be blessed by those who are tuning into the podcast and giving me feedback, telling me some of the good things that are happening in their life, being encouraged by the Word of God. Scripture says that as we hear the Word of God, our faith would be encouraged, but I believe revelation has to happen before faith really is fired off. You only believe what God reveals or what is revealed to you in the Scriptures. So my prayer today is, Lord, open our eyes that we can see beyond what we can see. It's not just what you're looking at, it's what's really there. I'm thinking of the story of the prophet that said, Lord, about his young man that he was his servant. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And when he did, he saw the horses, the chariots, the armies of the Lord, because the prophet had just said, there's more of us than there is of them. And the servant looked around and counted 1, 2. How can that be true? Some of you may be counting and only coming up with 1 or 2. But I want you to look past that today. I want you to see what God has said about you. I want you to understand that the Spirit of the Lord has given the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation and the spirit of encouragement to you today so you can see what God sees about you, what God sees in you, what God has said about you. And when you hear that, that's when faith really fires up. So enjoy this teaching that I've just done on what does it mean to you to be born again. Thanks again for listening to the program. And don't forget to subscribe. Tell somebody else about it. Thank you for your support in prayer and also your giving. God bless you today.
Did I say hello yet? And how good it is to be here, and that this is the this is the signature smile that I'm giving. And you ought to take a picture of it. It might be the last one of the day. My wife told me to smile at least once during the morning. So I'm doing it now. I have 3 grandkids, by the way, now, so 3 grandchildren. It's glorious, and I can still pick them up. That was my prayer, Lord, give them to me before I can't pick them up anymore. So here's the challenge. As we deal with the Word of God and begin to believe this voice, this middle voice begins to join this voice. This voice diminishes. And when this voice isn't when the third voice isn't the first voice, when something happens, you begin to win. When challenges come, that's not the time to call for 15 prayer warriors. It's like calling the cops, you know, when you live in 14 miles from them and the bad guy's at the door. You need a gun. Well, excuse me. You need a friend with a gun. I mean, you couldn't own one. Honestly, you know, you're not that kind of person. But this third voice, when you begin to come in and join voices and agree with the voice of the Father, this third voice will actually quiet down and eventually go away. You've been working all day in the heat. You come in the hallway, into the room, and there's a pop machine, and you need one bad. Pull out a quart. Well, you pull out a dollar. Gee, I've lived too long. Okay, you pull out a dollar, put it in there, and nothing comes out. Now I'm thirsty enough to try the second dollar. I pull it out, put it in, nothing comes. No way am I going for the third one. I'm finding another pop machine. Now the enemy comes to you and begins to speak to you. And if you're in tune with that third voice, he gets that pop right away. Amen. Hey, you're going to have a bad day. Hey, dear, I'm going to have a bad day. Don't even get out of bed. Now see, that's how it works. Now, when you've practiced and you've trained yourself to listen to the voice of the Lord, and the enemy comes in. The first voice that comes is, you're going to overcome this. This is not the last day of your life. You will win. I am on your side. That's the first voice you'll hear. You say, well, that's good for you, you old timer. You know, you've done this a long time. I'm just starting. Well, that's, I love the story of the guy that worked all day and then the last guy that came along. Amen. He got the same pay, didn't he? My son has a coffee shop and he puts signs out, little jokes. He said the other day, he said, thank God for the last minute. If it wasn't for that, I'd never win. Most of us, you know, right at the last minute, we'd jump in. So I'm challenging you today as I speak, because I'm going to pull some rabbits out of the hat this morning. And if you don't stop listening to this one over here, you'll miss what I say, because God wants to speak to you. There is a junction in your life, because I'm a prophetic speaker. There's a junction in your life that the angels have arranged for you to be here this morning. Some of you weren't planning it. Angels have arranged for you to be here this morning, so the word you hear will shift your life and change your destiny. Praise God. I've got that faith. You say, well, I don't. Too bad. I've got it for you. It's too late. You're here, and I'm going to work you over. Praise God. Well, that's my monologue, so let's get into the sermon. Matthew 1, I'm going to ask you a question. Kamban brapat sopo kotiaya, ronjele mandan breme katso patan brokan zeliaya, lungombri mandan dan bropaya. That's tongues. Here's the interpretation. Lord has chafed you and sandpapered you and rubbed you until you thought you were raw and bruised, but it was the Lord bumping you and shoving you into line so you can receive of the best stuff he has. You were standing in the line of the poverty and the half-used teacup bag that they were dipping again and again, calling it tea, and he's rubbed you, pushed you, sandpapered you, and shaved you until you're standing without even your permission this morning before his best. Receive it in Jesus' name. Now, if you haven't experienced tongues interpretation, it's equal with prophecy. Prophecy opens up a channel for you to step into and do what Mary did. Get the anointing of Mary, Jesus' mother. Be it unto me according to thy word. Praise God. Hey, God, just let it happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 1. I'm going to ask you a question. Shut up! Oops, did I say that out loud? Cut that out. I do it in the supermarket once in a while. I wonder they look at me crazy. It's that voice over there, you know. Trying to come back in. Now, it's an amazing thing to be perfect. I was perfect, you know, about 4 years ago. I just all of a sudden woke up perfect. It was a scary thing. People, yeah, but, you know, every once in a while you got to come back and pant again. Glory to God. Okay, Matthew. If you found Matthew 1 yet, it's the first chapter in the New Testament. Yeah. That's the biggest clock I've ever seen back there. And it's ticking away. And I'm just going to be bigger than that clock. I'm just going to stand here. Because something happens when there's a whole bunch of acceptance. I run off the rails. Just tighten up on me a bit, okay? There, that's better. I won't get silly. All right. Amen. Amen. I just come out to hear me preach occasionally. It's kind of fun. Ask you a question. What does the born-again experience mean to you? What does the born-again experience mean to you? Now, I want to give you the genealogy of Joseph. Now, Joseph was the bloodline that the kings came out of. And the generational bloodline that Jesus was promised in. The son of David and so forth. David was the king of Israel, but the bloodline that brought that along is in this first chapter of Matthew, which most people never read. How many times I'm going to rush to the first chapter of Matthew to get inspiration, but let's look at it for a minute. I just want to ask you a question. What does the born-again experience mean to you? There's a group of people in Uganda and maybe some other nations that are called born-agains. It's like Charismatic, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Presbyterian, they're called born-agains. Well, you are born again. That's what Nicodemus asked, didn't it? He said, what do I do? And Jesus said, you must be born again. So the snapshot in Matthew 1, without reading it, let me just take you on somewhat of a shorter journey instead of trying to read the names and go through them. Let's look at some of the generational background that Joseph had, which was, quote unquote, Jesus's father in the natural view, wasn't it? Except the fact that we know there was another thing. So this generational line had some interesting people in it. Look at Jacob. Jacob's name is supplanter, or he was a trickster. He tricked his way into blessing. That's part of the lineage that Jesus had in his background. Look at Tamar. Tamar was married to a man. He died, married to the second brother, which was the rule of the Hebrews, and he died. Third, the fourth, the fifth. This, I tell you, there was a curse on that family. you talk about it. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh brother died without children. Now she's really having difficulty because she wants a child, has no husband now, so she dresses, this is in the family of Jesus, for crying out loud, and she goes out, dresses as a prostitute, and finds the father of all these seven guys that is in a tavern or some drinking spot, and he gets a little tipsy, and she has a... gets in with him. Now, this guy, this father had promised the eighth son. He was like, 14. He had to grow up a bit. She didn't want to wait. This is family line I'm talking about. This is some of your family, by the way. Some of you scoundrels hiding out there like Christians. That's your background. There's some, I told somebody the other day, no way I'm going to put my name on the genealogy list. I don't want to find out what kind of thugs are in my background, and killers and sneaks. Glory to God. Bozarth, or Boaz, Bozarth. That's somebody else in my life. My God, I thought I forgave him. Okay, move along. Boaz, look at Boaz. Boaz was the son of Rachel. Rachel was the one on the wall of Jericho who betrayed her whole city. She was a traitor, and she was in Jesus' background. And then comes along Ruth in that story of Boaz and Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite, and the Moabites were not even allowed around the Jews, not in the temple anywhere, because they came out of the connection of Noah and his daughter. Sexually. So all this is in the genealogy and the background of Joseph. Wow, what a family. Now Solomon's there, but he was the wisest man ever lived, but he turned on God later. Worshipped idols and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you get real crazy with 700 wives, I'm sure. Amen. This isn't a marriage conference. I won't go past that. All right. Now, with that in mind, let me just mention just a brief memory, a brief mention about the background that we have and the genealogy we come out of and the family DNA and the curses that we talk about and the back memories we have and all the things we handle and all the dirt we try to ask God to forgive and all the craziness that takes us into and out of counseling and in and out of deliverance and in and out of healing of the memories and in and out of, oh me, oh my, I'm such a dog, oh yesterday I'm not, tomorrow, you know, I am today, tomorrow I might not be. All of this, it's exhausting. No wonder we have a bunch of backsliders hanging out somewhere today, afraid to come back to God because when they come back to God, it reminds them of what a failure their life has been. Oh, Jesus. Give me a bigger microphone, Lord. The people need to hear the message of born again. So, let's take another snapshot, and God steps in, and Mary then, instead of being conceived by Joseph, which would have taken him down the background, his genealogy would have gone down that line, the train track is all of a sudden switched. And he switched into another genealogy, into the genealogy of the blood of Jesus or the blood of God or the DNA of God. Now, what does it mean to you to be born again? What is the born again experience doing for you and how are you living it out? If you're religious, you're still working the past, trying to heal the past, trying to draw out of the past. If I could just change the past, my future would be better. If I could go into the past and, you know, work it all out. And even this whole area of I got to forgive everybody and I got to do all this so I can have a better tomorrow. Now, it's all good and sometimes just busy work. Till you realize that I've been born again. I have another bloodline in me now, and it's more real than my other old bloodline. I'm not drawing anymore from my emotional past, my father and my mother, and all the ups and downs, whatever, and all my background. I have been switched over to another bloodline, and that bloodline is God's perfect DNA. What does it mean to you to be saved, forgiven, born again, sign the church register, walk the aisle, you know, been baptized? All those things may be in your background as the statement for making a confession to Jesus Christ. But Jesus told Nicodemus it was called being born again. So when I come to Jesus then, and when I make that initial statement, when I come into the area of being converted, then I have switched my past, and my past has been dead. I have died. I have died with Christ. The old man is dead. You say, well, how does it work then? Because I sure remember him. Or her. I wake up sometimes and I can feel the pain of that lousy situation. I speak a prophetic word to you today, and if you'll catch it and hear it, I don't want to make it, you know, so mysterious that you can't understand it. I just want you to hear it, and I want you to say with Mary, be it unto me, Lord. And it is this, that God is switching your emotional and your senses, the sense you have that I am changed. You have been changed, but it's like the old boy with $1 million in the bank eating, you know, potatoes out of the dumpster. He doesn't know he has money in the bank. You've got all the things you ever need. Amen. Now, let's look at this. Where does my strength come from then? What do I do to go forward? Do I go in the back and try to work it and fix it? Well, for instance, in the church world, in the preacher world, if I'm going to have a great service tonight, I got to pray all day, fast half a week, and hang out with God all the time. Sounds good, doesn't it? And most times we'd say thumbs up. But if I am going to draw from my works, if I'm going to draw from my works, I'm going to say, oh God, I got to pray more because I don't have enough authority. I remember early on, I don't know, I've been preaching for years, but I always prayed all day, through the day, slept on the floor sometime between prayers. And I traveled all the time, had a little house trailer. I was in Ojai, California, and the assistant pastor said, let's go golfing. It's Friday night, halfway through the meeting. It's golfing. Sounds awful carnal to me, you know. Golf? So we went golfing, had a great time, Ojai, California, one of the, you know, pristine places to go golf. Greatest night in my life, Friday night. My God, this was a good night. And I was on the golf course. How does that work? Oh, God, teach me. Show me the way. So what do? You set up, you know, your prayer meeting on the golf course, obviously. What are you drawing from? What are you drawing from? Okay. Now, here's the key. Now remember, tongues and interpretation equal prophecy. Most often I just prophesy. But this is a teaching time. So here's the interpretation. Not the translation, the interpretation. Bricks are stacked to build buildings. Mortar is used to secure the buildings. Life is given to occupy the buildings. I have made it all for you, says the Lord. Enjoy. Ha-ha! I'll take that, Father. Praise God. Are you hearing it? Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So where do I get my strength? Say I'm going to run. This is a fantasy story. Don't believe me. Say I'm going to run the, 12K, 15. That was a stretch. I mean, if I run to the mailbox, I'm doing good. Okay. Say I'm going to run the 25K. Say it's just fantasy. Let's make it longer. So what do? I eat. I prepare. I put the food in. Well, I'm preparing the way. Okay. So I'm drawing from the past. Some of you are trying to get your encouragement for tomorrow from what you did yesterday. And you're failing because yesterday's were tough. Yesterday's were hard. Yesterday's was not a lot of joy. But the scripture says, looking unto Jesus. So this new track we're on is a forward. You get everything you need in front of you, not in back of you. Everything that you're ever going to need for the future is always in front, looking unto Jesus. Everything we get is from Jesus. He says, it's too mysterious, it's too mysterious, it's too ethereal, it's too mystical. How can I grab that? What can I do? I need, a hammer nail. I need a board to, anger it. No, this is a faith life. Faith is always active, and it's always in gear, looking unto Jesus, the author. So I challenge you again, and I ask you this question because I need you to answer it this week. What does the born-again experience mean to me? Am I running on the old fuel? I'm never going to be like my dad, and you're exactly like him. If you don't believe it, ask your wife. When my wife really wants to get me, she says, okay, Joe. God. Especially when I put one of his old hats on. You look just like your dad. He's a great guy, but I don't want to be like him. I want to be like him. Now we don't, let's not get silly. We're not wiping out our memory of our families. I'm not going to draw from the anger. I'm not a red-headed Irishman that gets mad. I'm not an Italian that, you know, talks with my hands. I'm not a Scotchman that does this. I'm not a, you know, an African that does. I am not that genealogy anymore. I have come into a new family, and I am drawing from the life of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. And now I live a complete and whole life, because no longer is that curse coming up the genealogy, the blessings coming in from the Father. That's what it means to be born again. And if you haven't got there yet, step in. Just come on in. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but it's a miserable ride. No, come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Don't do that to me. Glory to God. Go to heaven with a smile on your face. Don't grind it out. You know, God, come on anytime. Come quickly, because this is hell on earth. No, come on. Let's join the family that rejoices. Born again experience mean to you? Have you switched the track emotionally? God's done it. They're going to heaven. I've often said that if I'm in a 57 Chevy and I go over the cliff before I hit the canyon, I can get saved. That's, you save. You know, I revised that from a 57 Chevy to a, you know, a beat up 2000 Ford, because I don't want to lose the Chevy. But other than that, that's a good story. You can get saved that quick, but you can also walk and walk and walk in a dry place if you don't let the Holy Ghost make the switch. Begin to draw from the future. The future being in Christ. Jesus has provided everything I'm ever going to need. All my joy, all my relationships, all my finances, all my love, all my life, all my strength, all my years are in Him. And everything I get, I draw from Him. Joy of the Lord has been set before me. Set before Jesus, and He went through His trial, His cross. The joy that was set before Him, He endured. Sometimes I say, okay, Lord, throwing this at the wall, it better stick, because I need some joy today. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I'm looking unto Jesus for this trial, Lord. I know it's in the natural, and the blood's probably flowing, but Lord, I draw from You one more time. One more. I was listening to the angels sing. It sounded like, my Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. You're encountering an angelic encounter this week that is going to scare and bless you at the same time. Hallelujah. True angel encounters, you know, always scare the liver out of you. Because they always say, don't be afraid, it's me. Don't run away, I'm an angel. No, God's sending a message through a messenger. Oh, isn't God good? So Lord, we release the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. Us all. And Lord, those that are here and kind of had a little fun today and perhaps a little irritating in some sense, I pray that You'll just pour the oil on and let the love flow and let them know that God's got a good thing for them. And He never gives up. He never gives up. He never gives up on you. He'll bring you into your destiny, sometimes kicking and screaming, but He'll bring you in. I release the anointing over this house. I prophesy that stick is stirring. It's going to continue on for this summertime into the fall. By the fall time comes, you're going to have a heightened sense of spiritual activity. Angelic hosts are already here, but they're going to become more manifested. You're going to feel the spirit of anointing. Come fall, you're going to go into a new season of the church. And in through the wintertime is going to be marvelous encounters of God with souls being converted and people being renewed back to the Holy Ghost and to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Ha-ha! Glory to God. Ha-ha! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm having too much fun. I'm going to quit. Glory to God.